Don't do anything. And when I suggest don't do anything, perhaps the first thing you become aware of is all the doing that's taking place in the mind and the body. Let it all play out. Feel that there's infinite space for whatever is taking place in the thinking and in the feeling and sensing, in the emotions, in the energies, in the physicality of the body, whatever realm of experience is appearing on the radar, just feel that it's surrounded with openness. There's infinite openness for each one of us. We're in this shrine together, and there are no favorites here. Every experience that each one of us somehow is having is welcomed in this field, in this embracing field at every moment. Isn't that amazing? You could always say that to oneself. You could always say that to yourself and when the going gets tough. That whatever has been experienced is held somehow. Alongside every single experience in the universe and outside the universe. It's a bit of a mystery for the mind. Don't feel that the mind, not you, but the mind, don't feel that the mind needs to understand . Just let the thinkingness relax and wind. It's the heart that really understands and understands is not in this sense cognitive. It's a kind of direct understanding. Knowing. that every experience, every thought, sensation, pulsation, energy, tingling, sound, ripple, is allowed, not only allowed, is wanted. The heart understands that. And the reason the heart understands, I guess, is because the heart, in a way, is that openness. Each one of our individual hearts is a mini universal heart. And don't feel you have to match my words with a feeling in the body. Because even the word heart is misleading. I don't even know what I mean by that. I don't know much of anything. I'm happy to report. Will you join me? In not knowing, just allowing things to be, moment by moment, without any need to know why, when, what, where, who. And yet there is something, isn't there? Something knowing. Knowingness. Let every experience that arises vibrate in this field of knowingness, or in this field of knownness. Or in this field of nowness. That every little sensation, thought, or micro resistance, the sound of this voice, let be a drop. That falls and reverberates in this field of openness. soul. Every experience. It's a bit like the sound of the rain, you know, when the sound of the rain, and you're inside and it's pitter-patter outside and you hear each individual drop, but each individual drop, as it drops, it doesn't draw attention to itself. It somehow rejoins this field of sound, the sound of the rain. It draws attention to that. There's a kind of harmonizing, unifying field. It's the same with our experience, moment by moment. Let every experience be a drop of rain in this limitless, borderless field of heart. And don't exclude the experiences that usually are resisted or pushed away. Unpleasantness, tension, contraction, agitation. Give them permission to have their trajectory back to the field of openness. It's the natural trajectory of every experience, so it's not difficult. It's surrender. That's what surrender is. Letting every experience take itself back to the field from which it came from. And it can take whatever time and pathway it wants. If it doesn't want to take the direct path, it doesn't have to. And it's not that I get to say that, but it's just a fact of experience that some experiences will take their time find their way back. And so it should be. Feel the body and place this body right now, place it in the field of openness and tell it that it's allowed to unravel, that you're fine without it for the moment. You're with it, but you're not dependent on it. You're just with the body, moment by moment. And you have no agenda that the body should be your envelope, your body bag, that it should perform this or that way. You have no ideas. See what happens to this body, to your body. Because your body, each one of us, our bodies, it's our garden, it's our special responsibility. It came to us with its memories, its gender, its color, its shape, its mystery. Just placing your body in the field of openness and letting it speak, letting it sing its song. What happens to your body when it's a little bit free? When it tastes the openness that surrounds it, the safety, the welcoming that surrounds it. When I say this, inevitably, as we place the body in the openness, we feel we are the body. We are the fearful body. We are the hurt body. We are the sad body. We are the hopeful, needy, joyful, all sorts of. So I'm not suggesting that in one swift gesture that should change and all, suddenly your pure awareness and this body is just a. No, no, no. We take our time. Feel you, the body, in this field of openness, but yet with the knowledge that that's not the whole story. With the open knowledge that you're not limited to the body, but that you have a deep habit of limiting yourself to the body and that it's natural and important. It's not important that we limit ourselves to the body, but it's important that we acknowledge that habit and that we explore it and that we let it unwind and that we understand it somehow, that it teach us. So listening to your body, such as it is, as personal as it may be, right this moment. Yet with this feeling of openness all around it, this possibility of openness all around it. Feel your weight, the weight of the body. To begin with, it's my weight. Feel my weight. How I sit on the chair, on the earth, on the cushion, how I hold my weight, how I give my weight. The pelvis, feel the sits bones, the thighs. The area of the perineum. Feel the volume of the pelvis, how it settles on the earth or not. There's no agenda, just listening. Feel your arms, your shoulders, the length of your arms and your hands and how they rest, how they surrender to gravity or not. My arms, my hands, where I hold, whatever it is I hold. Feel the holding in the cups of your palms, in your fingers, in your nails. You can even slightly intensify the holding just so that you send the message to this body of suffering, of ignorance, so-called, that it is welcome. That it is innocent. And then you gently somehow take your place as the field of openness all around the arms, all around the legs. And you say, come to me, let go in me. And you feel the fingers, the nails, the palms. Feel the release, the wrists. Feel the weight of the arms going. Going. More, the shoulders. Make sure the breath is a help. The breath is an ambassador for this field of openness. And it knows how to travel into the body, whispering a message of surrender and openness. Feel again the legs, the hips and pelvis and the earth under the body. Bring the breath there to intercede with the body and the earth and to reunite them. But it takes time, no rush. See what you find. Feel the air, the temperature of the air on the skin, on your neck, on your face, the backs of your hands. What is it saying? If you rest, if you give back to the air, to the temperature, a kind of divine speech. What's it saying? What's it doing with the body, with the skin? How does the skin respond to this touch of the outside? Feel the touch of your clothes on your skin, on your arms, on your torso, on your belly. Is it light? Is it feathery? Is it warm? What's it saying? Not in thought language. Which direction is it inviting? What happened to the weight of your shoulders? Feel these shoulders free of any obligation, and the neck free. You've placed it in the openness. You've placed the shoulders in the openness. How do the shoulders connect with the hips? Maybe they drop right down into the hips. That's what mine want to do. And the palms of my hands dropping right into the soles of my feet. Why not? It doesn't really matter. Let the body be. Feel your breath. Now feel your face. First the face, my face, my mask, today's mask, this moment's mask. Feel it. Your forehead, your eyes, your cheeks, your mouth. The posture, the expression. Feel your jaw. Just tasting for no reason for the reason of loving, that's the reason. The reason of loving, of welcoming. Feel your teeth, feel inside your mouth, the walls on the inside of the mouth. The cheeks on the inside, the tongue. Can you feel the root of the tongue? Tip of the tongue. Taste of your own mouth. As I name everything like this, it's not an opportunity to gather and consolidate the body, but rather to undo and unwind the body. So let things really let them go as they arise. Feel your ears. Inside of your ears. Very alive. Where the sound of this voice touches. The sensitivity called the ears. And see that the sensitivity called the ears, if you have no visual, become less located. There might be a little bit of sensation in the ears, but the sound of this voice touches an openness, a sensitivity that is bigger than the physicality of the ears. Let your ears fill more and more space. And let the sensitivity of the whole body, this body is so tactile, so alive. How about it could fill more and more space? Since you don't have a visual, you don't know where the body ends. Can you give it permission to expand as much as it wants? I know there's a taskmaster, I have one, that doesn't want to let the body expand. Quite the opposite, it wants the body to stay right here. We're not doing that. We need to stay put. So you know, feel that. Feel the taskmaster. The contraction, the control. It's big. It's big, right? So we're not gonna do anything with it. We're just gonna feel it. But then, you know. It's not one or the other, because you have the taskmaster, you have the contraction, the holding the body, the tightening of the body, and then somehow there's a more subtle experience that is concurrent. It's not one or the other. You just have to tap into it. A more subtle experience that is a body that is intimately connected with the openness all around. The borderlessness, the weightlessness, the heartfulness. Feel the weight surrendering more to gravity. And gravity is not just a phenomena of physics, a law of physics. It's a law of love. Feel that down the scent of the legs, of the pelvis, of the arms, the rivers. Feel the earth is not hard and dead and matter like it's in your experience with eyes closed and free of concept. It's not hard. The hardness comes out of resistance. It's a projection. Feel that it's soft like a cushion, porous. Friendly, safe. It has to be, right? Because we know that everything is made out of consciousness, out of this openness, out of this borderlessness, out of this intimacy, this oneness. So how could the earth be dead, inert, and hard? But don't try to erase the feeling of hard, dead, and inert. Just let it be that feeling. Let it come. Let it reveal itself to not be, but in its own time. Enjoying the drama. Feel the top of the head gently pushing towards the ceiling. And because you have no image for your body, you don't have your mind's not really invited here. So just feel a kind of elongating of the spine, but without any notion where the spine ends. Feel the top of the head higher than you know, touching the ceiling. And at the same time, the gravity is like an embrace, calling the arms and the legs to flow downwards. So there's those two movements, down, limbs are going down, flowing down like rivers, and the spine. Let it move up more like a snake or a flame rather than a kind of rigid ladder. See if you can connect deeply into the spine, the cord. You can make it up. Make the sensation up. We have that power. Evoke it. Visualize it, evoke it, and then you feel it. Don't erase anything that's here. Any resistance, tension, contraction, let it come. It's a koan. Ellen's saying to surrender the weight and elongate the body without making effort and feel the borderlessness and the expansion, and yet I'm supposed to welcome the resistance and the tension. How does it work? It doesn't matter. You don't need to know. Feel the breath. And now don't elongate the spine anymore, push the head, just feel the torso, the whole torso, one sensation, one global sensation. No arms, no head, no trunk, no legs, just one homogeneous cloud-like sensation. And nobody living in it, it lives in you. It's an aliveness, a cloud, like amorphous, alive flow in you the borderless openness. Make sure you empty it of its weight. I know there's some weight to be emptied out in the hips and shoulders always. Long in breath, long out breath. Welcome the layers. Feel your arms floating up, right and left, slowly. First, the fingertips touching the floor, the carpet, the cushion, and then airborne the arms. Two wings, slow, lifted by inflating cushions of air. So there's no weight, no effort. Long, long fingers. Don't make the fingers dead. Make them alive. Fingertips scratching, pushing the walls to the right and to the left. Palms opening to the center of the space. Top of the head, ceiling, shoulders. And now the arms float up, all the way up to the ceiling. Don't do it. Let it happen. Don't live in the body. Let the body ripple in you with all its intensity. And the palms face one another. And your shoulders are emptying always. And the hips, fingertips touching the ceiling. Torso turns towards the left just a little bit, smooth and slow. Breath, can it move the breath? Can the shoulders empty more? Welcome the burning. If it's there, let it expand in all directions, the whole posture. And then the torso turns towards the right. Don't let the mover intercede. Don't let it push. No pushing. Just allowing the posture to find itself, to express its truth. How do the shoulders want to be? How do the palms want to be? How does the face want to be? The breath, the legs. Yes, the torso comes back. No psychology. Even if there's resistance burning in the shoulders and the neck, so what? It's okay. There's no past, no future in the shrine. Remember, we're only with this moment now. Now the arms float back down, right and left. And as they float down, they draw tiny little circles from the shoulders. Very slow. Don't do it. No thinking, just tasting these lubricated shoulders. But there's no shoulders, right? There's just this rippling, following the invitation. Yes, now the arms dissolving. Let them do that on their own. No, there's no need to control that. How do they do it? Let them disappear into you, into the field. Be the field, not the body. I mean, the body is you too. It's made of you. It is you, but not, you know what I mean. Make circles. We make circles with the neck and the head. But when I say we make, I mean, it's a cosmic making. No doer, no mover, no separate mover or doer. Just this cosmic ripple, perfect circle. No doer. Just be with a raw sensation, moment by moment, in this field of silence. Keep purifying it, this movement of the mover and the doer. Sometimes if you smile a little bit, that helps. Somehow the smile connects to the heart connects to the field of openness, and all is seen to happen without the intervention of this so-called doer. Now the other way. Doesn't mean that there's not a doing or a moving. You can fully feel that feeling of moving, of a happening. Yes, the head comes back. How does it come back? Where does it go? Am I living in the body right now? You might think you are. You might even feel you are, but is that really true? If you were a tiny baby, would you even come to that conclusion? Would you feel that? Reclaim your inner baby, knowing. Your knowing as a little baby. Which is not knowing. Torso turning towards the left. Let it happen. The cosmic mover. Hands one on top of the other, maybe. Touch, weight, surrender, elongating the spine. The breath, it's like we're a conductor and we allow all these parts to harmonize with one another. We invite them all, the right hip, the left hip, the knees, the ankles, the earth, now the head floating towards the left, sorry, towards the right side. Smooth. Let that little smile help. Where does the head want to stop moving? How does that work? Maybe the movement never stops, even when the physical movement stops. What if it continued forever? Top of the head. Feel the whole posture, one global cloud that you surrender, that you place more deeply, you enthrone it in the field of openness. Oh, the head started moving again towards the left. I'm not doing anything. No point, nowhere to go. Even if Ellen's calling out the shots, head, torso turns and all that. I'm this field allowing the ripples, now the torso turning towards the right. But really there's no torso, it's more like a ghost-like sensation. Hands on the right knee, one on top of the other. Touch, fingers, palms, tops of the hands, melting heat, penetrating, spreading, descending, extending. Breath. Did I take residence in the body again? But you might think you did, you might feel you did, but is that really true? Don't draw the conclusion just from an innocent sensation. Feel this warmth, this feeling of being in the body. It's actually innocent. It's a feeling of being. It's you. It's not actually limited to a physical body. The head turns towards the left. I'm the borderlessness. Welcome the feelings that make up the separate self. Oh, I'm not doing this right. This isn't smooth enough. I'm bored. I'm on to the next thing, blah, 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 blee, blee, blee. Just letting the babbling separate self layers babble on if they must. Sometimes they must. Feel the posture. Feel the limitlessness that you are, the borderlessness that you are. The peace that you are, in which the sensation of the body, but also the sound of this voice and whatever else is being perceived is unfolding. The head moving back towards the right, the sound of Ellen's voice. Touch of the air on the skin. And the torso comes back. Let it do itself. Let it move back, but then let it continue to explore. Not just the torso, just movement, exploring movement. since you don't live in the body, in the physical body, in the layers of the body, then the layers of the body are free to liquefy, the energies of the body are free to begin to dance or be danced. Because there's a lot of feelings that are held in the body, a lot of energies, memories. With the movement, pathways are created, rhythms are created, gestures, shapes, to facilitate healing, meaning to facilitate the returning of what is held as the body, as me, the separate body. To facilitate the returning of those layers to the openness. See what that means for you. Not with your mind, but directly with the body. How does that unfold? A deep listening, maybe to the places in the body where there is holding, where there is pain, where there is grief, anger, fear. And then you invite the hands, maybe the sound, the gestures, you somehow begin to harmonize with the feeling, using whatever may like to be used. But often the hands, the sense of touch and the sense of sound, sense of touch can unravel a sensation, can comb it out, or anyway, just giving you a bit of guidance, but trust your own bodily intelligence. And when I mean bodily intelligence, I mean divine intelligence. Movement and creation, expression, they are cosmic. Just like everything else. If the body wants to stand, the feet on the ground, the legs, the belly, sometimes to stand and to feel a real sense of standing, of rooting, of harnessing the elements. Let's make sure the head, the hair, the teeth, the nails, the wild expressions of the body that we like to keep nice and civilized, but when we go into this movement, feel your eyes are closed, feel your hair is completely wild and your nails are long and your feet are bare. And your body is in nature. Your nails don't have to be long. And it can be a big movement of expression, sometimes very subtle, barely a physical movement. The mind will want to get involved, interpreting and directing, taking charge. And this is an edge we have to practice. Ideas will come. I'm releasing an old trauma. But we don't really know. It doesn't matter. It's more innocent than that. Yes. And feel that we're together here, you know, in a very safe quality. Because it is vulnerable to allow expression like this without not knowing. And then gently just let the dance find a place of stillness, return to stillness. Return to you. You are both, aren't you? The movement and the repose. And once the body has reached the stillness, let the energies continue to unwind and do whatever. Be with the peace and openness. Praise the body that it's ventured into uncharted territories. Praise yourself, that part of yourself that thinks and feels itself to be separate. Praise it for exploring its construct to discover the truth. What a grace. It takes courage. To really explore these constructs. Because it also means feeling them, allowing them, these layers. This aliveness. that we are. Don't do anything, just abiding for a moment in this silence. As this silence, as this aliveness. And seamlessly, let's open our eyes without feeling we're, you know, leaving the shrine or leaving the place to go to another place, just opening the eyes and seeing what happens when you open your eyes and you see what you see. And are you living inside a separate body just because you opened your eyes? No. Isn't that amazing? We get so caught up with that belief. And even more so when they're little squares. So not only do we live in a body, but we live in a square. Jesus Christ. So my friends, hello. Nice to see you all. Thank you for sharing the meditation. Sometimes I'm going off on left field. I have no idea. Thank you very much for following me and staying. And we've got about, not so much time, but I would just want to open it up for questions or sharings, maybe not too long so that, you know, as many as us. I see you, Stephen. You can unmute yourself. Are you there? Oh, you're still muted.
I was wondering how you work with pain in this space.
Physical pain?
Yeah, like I guess physical pain.
Did you experience physical pain during the session?
I believe I did.
And how did you work with it? Work, I'm not sure I like that word.
Okay. How do you be with it in this way? I mean, it feels to me like dropping ink in water.
That's a nice image.
So pain colors the field in some way. It seems like it's
it's more that pain, it depends what, you know, there's a big spectrum for pain, but I like your image of dropping a drop of ink in water. And then what happens is this kind of diluting and expanding of the color. So it's more that it's not so much a pain pervades the water, but rather that the water relaxes the pain. The pain is a contraction. Not all pain. Some pain is physiological and entrenched in the body, and you have to just really stay kind of very respectful of it, or it may need attention, you know. But some pain is a deep-seated habit of holding. And we tend to, it's, as soon as we experience it, we tend to resist it, which is more holding. So for example, in the area of the shoulders and neck, for example, when I know very well that when we're doing this, everybody's like, oh, this hurts, perhaps. But in that moment, there's no danger there. It's more a habit of resistance. It's, there's a psychologizing of that pain. And so in the sessions, we try not to do that. We try not to psychologize it. It's, and we try to welcome it, just like you said, a drop of ink in the field of openness. And we find that even though during the session, we still will feel this intense discomfort, perhaps after the session, there will be more space in that area because we became more aware of the pattern. We welcomed the pattern of resistance rather than resist the resistance.
Does, I mean, this help? Pain I'm speaking of, it, you could say it's more like fatigue or something. You know, it feels more.
Yeah.
It's
aching.
Not like I raised my arms and that hurts. It's a more generalized. And can that just dilute in the space?
I think little by little that eases off as we work, as you explore the body like this, as you explore the openness in which this body and the sensations are replaced. It's like we finally are placing the body in its true habitat, which is this expansion, this borderlessness. So that inevitably has a healing effect on the body. But to begin with, we have to traverse the landscape. We have to feel that. We cannot bypass it. We can't just go, I'm going to relax the body. That doesn't work. We have to go through that layer of, how did you call it? A kind of ache, fatigue.
Yeah. Yeah,
and not and not fatigue. Do the usual, not do the usual, which is to label fatigue. Oh, blah 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 blah. Past and future. No, fatigue. Okay, let's take the label away and let's just be with this direct experience, and really connect with the field all around it, and let it be, let it play out. No agenda for it to go away.
Just an unwinding. It's a, I don't know if progressive is right, but it's a kind of progressive unwinding or a
yes, because
slow dilution, dissolving.
Yes, exactly. You could say it's a slow dissolution, a slow alignment. And then, you know, yes, yes. Because the habit of separation is deep and we reassert it. You know, even though we know the truth and we explore the truth, boom, you know, something happens in our life, in our relationship, and you know, so then we have, it doesn't matter, you know. But yeah, over, I guess, a lifetime of surrendering this body back to its true habitat, it permeates the body more and more, this gentleness, this ease, this.
Thank you.
Just wave and don't be shy and Hi, Carlo. Saw you dancing up there. It was nice. Hi, Liz. Can you want to say something? Mute yourself. Maybe I can unmute. Can you unmute yourself, Sean?
I'm unmuted.
Can you hear me? Oh, there you are. Hi there.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi.
Okay. Thank you.
We can hear you.
Oh, good. Okay. I was just wondering, because I find myself, like, I enjoy these meditations. I've only done this a couple times now, but I've done, you know, also recordings and really enjoy this. I find myself at this stage in my life, and listening to other people talk last time too, and having studied this sort of thing for a while, being like wondering, I feel like I'm sort of like a, let's say, a Catholic that believes in the Pope and all, but goes ahead and, you know, doesn't mind having premarital sex with condoms and such. You know what I'm saying? But
no, I don't. What are you saying?
Non-duality. Like, I'm like, this is all great and beautiful, but I'm not, you know, but really, and I believe we're not really a separate self and all that, but come on. I'm, you know, let's be realistic. You know, that's how I kind of feel. Like, you know, it's like, all right, this is nice and beautiful. And if this actually feels great, but anytime someone says, oh, you're not the separate self, or we're not separate, yeah, I don't really believe it anymore. You know what I mean? Like a part of me does, where I feel like I get it, but there's this part of me that, like, and so I'm just wondering what to do with that. You know what I'm saying?
You're funny. Yeah, I definitely know what you're saying. At times, I mean, maybe sometimes I don't feel what you're saying, and sometimes I too feel what you're saying. Like, oh, it's more theory. Like, I know it in theory, and I know it quite deeply, but somehow at that moment I'm not feeling it. And life is very convincingly proving to me, seeming to prove to me that I am separate, and so are you, and so are you, and so is, you know. But so that, you know, what to do about that? Well, you have a choice. You can either stay with that belief, or you can go with your intuition that it's not true, but because you feel it to be true, you need to investigate it more. You need to explore that feeling more. And you need to be very careful of that. Oh, you know, like what you just said, this, and I know it for myself again, that I'm a Catholic, but, you know, I pay lip service to the Pope, but I go and have extramarital affairs. It's easy for this, in this non-dual circles, to do that, like to pay lip service. I go to my satsang once or twice a week. I do my yoga, you know, and then that's it, you know. And then I basically, it's business as usual. I'm just as miserable as I always was. So, I mean, this is such a radical, it's so near to us, because what we are is this borderless, limitless presence of awareness. It's what you are right this moment. It's not what you are is too simple. Oh, I don't want to say it. I can't speak about it right now. But my answer to you, Sean, is don't go to sleep with that feeling. Cultivate, explore and inquire, and don't let that feeling, it's like the feeling of the doubt, you know, sometimes doubt comes. Keep coming to these, but maybe also visit other teachers who you feel are rigorous and will help you really feel this, know this. Direct knowledge, not just hearsay.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
But it doesn't cancel out your human life, you know. I think maybe that's also the place where we get caught. It's like, oh shit, you know, I'm not supposed to feel like a human being with my problems and my issue. No, I mean, that's not going to go away overnight. And that's part of, I mean, in my experience, it's very rich and very... it's just that when we, as we explore the deeper understanding, our human individual experience makes more sense, because when it's suffering, when it's difficult, when there's challenges, then there's this background, this essence of what we are, that it's like a light, a torch, that we know why we're, what we're exploring, where we're going. I don't know. I'm sorry, I'm not very articulate, Sean, but keep going is all I can say. Keep going deeper.
I mean, yeah, okay.
Don't satisfy yourself with fast non-duality.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, I think nowadays there's so much on the internet, so many. So people think, okay, well, I'll just listen to this teacher for a bit and that teacher for a bit. And it, well, sometimes there's more of a commitment that wants to happen.
I mean, part of it, and not, this is the last thing I'll say, is part of it was conscious because I did spend so many years really trying to get it. And yeah. I did. And I felt like, yeah, I got it to a certain degree, but then I was kind of hitting my head against the wall. And so I felt like, let's just take a kind of a break because I'm not, because I've reached my limit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but well, Sean, maybe we can discuss this privately, yeah. And because it sounds like it's your individual path, but let's do that because we're going to talk anyway, right? Because I think it's a big conversation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
No, but thank you for your question. Because it's I'm gonna get my cable because I notice I have 5% and it's gonna go dead. Hold on. All right. Sorry, guys. Oh, sometimes I feel so inarticulate. Anybody else want to ask a question so I can exercise my inarticulateness? Otherwise, Coco will come with her beautiful poem. No, nobody else. I understand. Oh, Patricia, okay. On you. Hi there.
Hi. I was going to say that I used to find before, after say I meditated or if I was after retreats or on retreats, I would move naturally. What I would find is my body would actually want to move with the energy itself or whatever you want to call it. And like, yeah. I've come to you, this is my second time coming to you. And it seems to be almost, like when you're a woman, it's kind of, you almost don't have permission to move in certain ways, you know, or get in touch with, yeah, the animal side or getting stuck in touch with the natural side.
Yes.
It seems to be that this, what you're doing is getting in touch with the intelligence that naturally heals, that naturally freeze
up. Absolutely. I mean, you know what, Patricia, I have no idea what I'm doing. I mean, all these years where I was teaching, I was trying to teach according to what I had received, which was from beautiful teachers, but who happened to be men.
Yes.
And I think it does have a great effect. There's a difference between a man body and a woman body.
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah. So the teaching, little by little, as it's channeled through this body, which happens to be a woman's body, definitely I'm letting something else come through, and I know that it's okay. Like, but in the beginning, Pat, I was like, no, this is indulging in feelings. This is going in the way of you know. I was feeling like I'm not following the Pope.
Yes,
but I know now. It's actually very, very good and very. I trust it, and it's, and you were trusting it then in those days, but then you weren't because somehow there was no validation out there. But
yes,
I think the world is in bad need of more body intelligence, creative intelligence, direct intelligence.
Yeah.
No. So move, pet.
Yeah, move. That's what I feel. So it's great because it is very freeing, because I couldn't, you know, you go to a teacher, whatever they would say about the freedom and what the freedom is.
Well, freedom is an aspect of our true nature, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, create, you know, look at this universe.
Creativity. Yeah. So it's wonderful.
It demands a rigor, which I struggle to put into words, because here we are letting the body be moved, and of course feelings and impulses, and then of course the separate self is the personal aspect is bound to be there, wants to be expressed, the fearful one, the needy one, the angry one, whatever, this rich display of expression comes in the form of something very personal sometimes. And the non-dual teaching somehow has sent us the message, oh, no. So it's like that we have to learn a way of giving totally full space for that. And then understanding how that allowing of the personal expression will naturally relax the personal thingness about, I'm not talking anymore. You understand.
I do.
I can't talk.
Yeah. It allows it to express and go back to peace, I think.
There you go. Thank you, Patricia.
And
I also, because there must be some intelligence to all this creative creation, it's saying something and conveying something and sharing itself. And we can't just share like this. I mean, Jesus Christ, look.
Yeah, and it's like with the, because I used to do the midwifery, so it's like with labor, if you trust it and trust the energy, I'm calling it energy, but you can call it whatever, you could call it love or whatever.
Yeah.
It goes back to, it just harmonizes or something. It goes to harmony.
That's right. That's exactly right. I feel that too. Yeah. So deeply.
Yeah.
Thank you, Patricia.
Thank you. You're
much more eloquent than I am. Thank you. All right. Time for a poem or? Yeah. Okay, Coco, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
This is so perfect. Ellen, I love so much that this space is so open and friendly and warm. And, you know, I always pick poems and then they change. But I love that, you know, there's not an agenda. Like, I can see that. When that thought came to, like, just there's no agenda, but there is an intention, you know, and it's beautiful, the difference between the two. And I just want to say that I could imagine myself as a little girl, as I was. I have this picture and this earnest, serious little girl, you know, and that I could just, like the invitation from you to smile, you know, I could just bring a smile to her and just loosen the little binds of her heart a little, you know, it's lovely. And thank you. And just all of us for being here. We're so lucky.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this poem is just so beautiful and perfect. And I mean, someday I'll have the other ones, but It's called A Seeming Stillness by David White. We love the movement in a seeming stillness, the breath in the body of the loved one sleeping, the highest leaves in the silent wood, a great migration in the sky above, the waters of the earth, the blood in the body, the first soft stir in the silence beneath a strident voice. the internal hands of our mind, always searching for touch, thoughts seeking other thoughts, seeking other minds, the great arrival of form through all our hidden themes. And this breath in the body, able just for a moment to give and to take, to ask and be told, to find and be found, to bless and be blessed, to hold and be held. We are all a sunlit moment come from a long darkness. What moves us always comes from what is hidden. What seems to be said so suddenly has lived in the body for a long, long time. Our life, like a breath, then, a give and a take, a bridge, a central movement between singing a separate self and learning to be selfless. Breathe then, as if breathing for the first time, as if remembering with what difficulty you came into the world, what strength it took to make that first impossible in-breath into a cry to be heard by the world. Your essence has always been that first vulnerability of being found, of being heard, and of being seen. And from the very beginning, the one who has always needed and been given so much invisible help. This is how you were when you first came into the world. This is how you are now, all unawares, in your new body and your new life. This is the raw vulnerability of your everyday. And this is how you will want to be and be remembered when you leave the world.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone. Coco, that was perfect, as always. And the quality, you know. Yes, the poem, but the quality you bring to them is just so true. And I wish we could all be together and, you know, unmuted and hang out, and hopefully that will happen soon. So, my friends, thank you very much.
See you again soon.
Thank you. Yeah, you can unmute yourself if you want.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ellen. Thank
you. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you for the poem.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank
Merci
you for coming.
Thank you.
Avec plaisir.
Thank you, everyone.
Bon voyage.
Merci.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks,
bye, thank you, everyone.
Bye, Ganga.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye, Marianne.
Hello.
Adam, Hika, my faithful one.
Hey.
Bye, Barbara.
Hello, Adam. Hello.
Bye.
Kul att se dig.
Sofia.
Samma.
Du saknar dig.
Ah.
Vi ses snart.
Ja, det gör vi. Vi hörs.
Ah. Mm. Vad kul att se dig ikväll. Hur har du det?
Bra, bra. Bra, bra. Okej. Ändå.
Ja, det är bra. Vi ses. Ta hand om dig.
Du också.